It is so wonderful to see your faces, to be here in person. I have missed you, college students. I've wondered about your summers. Visitors, welcome. Whether you've been here all summer or today's your first day, you matter in this place. Oh, it is so good to be back. I'm feeling all the emotions today. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to a whole list of people, to leadership and to this congregation for giving me the opportunity to be with my family through significant milestones and giving me the space that we didn't know that we needed to personally learn and grow. Thank you for your generosity. And I especially want to appreciate Elwood and Patty and the congregational leadership team and every person on commissions and gifts and appointments committee and elders and Aaron, everybody leading on a Sunday morning during worship. Thank you for your sacrificial service in this place. And yes, I am eager to hear your part of sabbatical that you had from me. That's valid, Dave. I am eager to hear about your experiences as well. You and the congregation have done a phenomenal job of caring for one another, of honoring one another, of pointing each other to Christ through some challenging circumstances. And it is such a joy to hear of your excellence. I especially want to appreciate Lori and Seth and Irvin for your eagerness to do more work so that I could take this sabbatical, stepping away from ministry for a season. I am grateful for the work that you have done so well, for the gift you have given me of this sabbatical. I also want to thank my family for the memories together from this sabbatical, for your support in doing this work that I love. I love you. So I want you to hear me say loud and clear that I'm grateful for this sabbatical, because what comes a little bit later on in the testimony may not quite sound like that. But this was a time for me to learn and to grow. And that makes it sound so simple and easy. It was not. I did things that restored my soul, including spending time with family and friends that I don't often get to be with. I spent time with God. I read. I celebrated my son's graduation from high school, which, by the way, Kevin King gave an amazing speech. EMS, I'm so grateful for all of you here that pour into these students. It's wonderful what's happening there. I got to celebrate my son starting college about a month ago at EMU. My daughter graduated from having braces, and she's this close to getting her driver's license. She's an excellent driver. Mike and or Kate and I took a walk almost every day. Mike and I got to take a 2 or 3 day, a weekend trip to the beach, which was wonderful to have that time together. And I can say now that it was a wonderful sabbatical. Because when the pain and the confusion are swirling around us, and it's hard to make sense of things, it's difficult to see clearly. So today I'll be sharing a testimony about my sabbatical. And as Dave said, how do we sum up 4 months? I have so many stories to share. I recorded, I think it's 130 or so lessons that I learned. Here's the quickest way I came up with to share about my sabbatical. This is the document. I think it was posted in the foyer. It's listing, thank you, Steve, for this idea. It lists what my plans were for the sabbatical. You know where this is going. I hope you can see this big X through my plans. And we can laugh about it, right? Because I'm through it. But at the time, wow, this was really frustrating and painful. Significant plans didn't go as we hoped. And after 3 months of struggle, of fighting with God, of railing against my suffering, I learned to embrace it. surround it with Jesus and his love. But I'm getting ahead of myself. And you were part of that epiphany, and I'll share about that in a little bit. Many of our experiences were extremely difficult. My father passed away unexpectedly. Emma, my mother-in-law, was diagnosed with cancer. My son Jonathan, who has multiple food allergies, was challenged to get enough food now that he's in college. I have many more examples. And I was grateful to have the capacity, the space, to not also be lead pastoring at the time I was navigating these challenges. And my plan was to have all of this wrapped up by the time of today. That was my plan. Unexpected is the word to sum up this sabbatical. Good planners like me dislike the unexpected. Do we have planners here? Who are our planners here? Yes, some of you know we don't like the unexpected. Planners believe we're in control of our lives as though we're God. Until we get to heaven, life includes suffering. We experience circumstances outside of our control. Over and over, we are impacted by the upheaval that this world is going through. Over and over, I worked through pain from my past that is impacting my present. Over and over, we were impacted by other people's unresolved pain. Other people's unresolved pain is like secondhand smoke. One study I read said that it's worse for the secondhand person than it is for the smoker. Because you know that what isn't healed continues to harm you and the people that you love. I learned that when my body and thoughts and feelings experience pain, it is a flashing sign to pay attention. If you ignore the three construction signs telling you to merge into one lane, you create more problems for yourself than if you honor and follow the signal. As painful as it was to go back through some of the aching spots in my life, I did so because I love and am committed to my family and to myself and to Zion. That love and commitment show that Jesus is here and is transforming us. So here are a few of the stories of God's unexpected grace during sabbatical. My plan for attending church during sabbatical was to go to many of our sister congregations, particularly in the Northern District. That didn't go as planned. And you all, by the way, it was so strange on a Sunday morning to be thinking of you all, missing you, missing being here, and drive to another congregation. So strange. Some of you asked if today was strange. Today is not strange. This is wonderful. We attended 6 or 7 or 8 different congregations, and then we settled in at the same congregation for the rest of the time during sabbatical. And almost every Sunday, the same verse of scripture was read at some point during the service. It wasn't always the main one for the worship service, but it was mentioned almost every Sunday for 4 months. That's our passage for today. It became my theme for the summer. And it caught my attention right away because the same verse was in several of the books I was reading early on in sabbatical. So this is our verse today, that Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke," not yolk, river, "take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." that next to the last phrase about soul rest became my main focus for the rest of sabbatical. This was about after a month had passed. And I started realizing soul rest was what I needed to be focused on. With just the few things that I've shared so far about my sabbatical, do you think that verse connected? It hit home for me. And I'm still on that journey, and I expect to share more about it with you as that becomes clear. But notice in the verse, it doesn't say, come to me, all you who are on sabbatical. It doesn't say, come to me, all of you who are on summer break or who have extra time on your hands. Come to me, all you who are weary. This is all of us. We all have our burdens, some seasons more than others, but we all have our burdens. So the suffering of life can be unexpected. How much more unexpected is God's grace? Who else gives grace like Jesus? Thinking about how we all have our burdens, Mike and I, this was a couple days ago, we counted like 10 burdens that we're navigating. But see, it's different now for me. Let me see if I can explain it this way. A friend texted me 5 or 6 days ago. She knew sabbatical had been what it was, and she was checking in to see how I was doing and for an update. And so I told her an update on like 4 or 5 different things. And she said, oh, Sarah, that's a lot. And you know, it is. It is a lot. However, I don't carry it in the same way anymore. I don't feel the weight of it anymore. And I want that for you too. I'll try to explain more about that. Or if I'm tempted to carry the weight of it, I know what to do about it now. See, our lives and our neighbors' lives of hopelessness and despair and confusion do not have to be that way. We can be transformed. Any of us can come to Jesus right now in our minds and in our hearts. God, I give you my burdens. You can, in your mind or physically, do this. Picture yourself peeling them off of your heart one after another. There's this person, and there's this relationship, and there's this financial thing, and there's the health thing. And as many times as we need to, hand them over. Because the second they get into God's hands is where they belong. They're much better cared for in God's hands than in our own. As we let go of every burden, God's unexpected grace is present. I began bringing my burdens to Jesus every morning and receiving God's rest. And I invite you to practice that with me this week, trading burdens for rest. Second story. I had just had a very difficult week. I couldn't figure out why a good God allows suffering. I was wrestling with whether God is really good. Our family went into yet another new church where people didn't know us or our stories. I have a bit more understanding and compassion for visitors now. How difficult that can be. Visitors, you are always welcome in this place. You're a gift. And at this church, we sang several songs that my family and I didn't know before we got to one called Goodness of God. What was it I was wondering about? If God is good. And one of the lyrics is, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And I thought, can I sing this with any integrity at all? And I sang in faith that it was true, not knowing or understanding. And over the next several weeks, through more painful circumstances, I began to experience God's goodness in the midst of our suffering. The This last story is the one I said we would come back to about you. God used you to teach me to place my pain in Jesus' loving arms. A few weeks before my father passed away, that was August 2nd, a few weeks before that, late July, I was sitting on Irvin and Bonnie's couch. They were former interim pastors here at Zion, and I was seeking wisdom for something deeply painful that I was navigating. And Irvin commented that he hopes I can experience God's loving arms around me as I navigate this challenge. And I agreed. I longed to experience God in this way. God abundantly answered that prayer. And one of the ways he answered was through you. I forgot to bring these cards up. These are cards that you all sent me after my dad passed away. Well, some of them are birthday cards from you all too, but these are the cards you all sent me, and some family members and other friends sent as well. And I want to read, I won't read any names, but I want to read just a few of these and see if you can catch this theme. The pattern. Let's see. Let's start with this one. Oh, sometimes life is hard to figure out with sudden challenges that were never a part of our plans. I want to read another part. Inside the verse says, it's from Isaiah 41. I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my right hand. Let's see another one. We hope that you each will feel God's supernatural love surrounding you. You catching the theme yet? Maybe? I'll keep going. Oh, this should make it clear. Asking God to comfort you and hold you very close. How is that possible? That people I haven't been seeing for months sent cards with all the same idea. We are lifting you up in prayer and praying you feel God's abundant love, peace, and comfort with you during this time. I could go on and on. Let's do one more. Sometimes our losses make us homesick for heaven. But our loving Father stands ready to wrap his arms around our hearts and never let go. May you feel his heartbeat today and in the days to come. Do you think I felt loved? Do you think I felt God's arms around me? At a time when it was especially painful to be away from you, my church family, you showed me God's grace unexpectedly. Now, Zion has a very strong gift of showing care, but even more important than that, you pointed me to Jesus. And you all, that was so rare in our time of deep loss of my father's passing. So many people didn't mention Jesus is the one who comforts those who mourn. Jesus cares for the brokenhearted, and you all did that for me. Because Jesus is the only one who can transform our suffering and can provide rest. We can understand that soul rest is very different from despair and hopelessness. Trying harder or doing it your own way slows down our rest. The path to soul rest is not pretending everything is fine or denying the suffering, or even just about focusing on God's grace. Soul rest means we bring our burdens to Jesus and we are transformed. So instead of this X through my plans, what if instead it looks like this? with a cross through our plans. Now, there's a lot of ways we could interpret this. One of those is remembering Jesus suffering with us and for us. And I'll add something here. I am not an artist, so use your imagination that this is the empty tomb. God's unexpected grace. It's an unexpected grace to surround our loss with Jesus' love. The empty tomb looked like death. It was full of new life for each of us. New life was born there. We are not free of suffering. God transforms us in our suffering, and then we are free. I experienced God's power and loving arms during my loss because of this church family that showed me Jesus. You showed me God's goodness. You joined me in bringing my burdens to Jesus. May we see God's unexpected grace more and more as we journey to and with Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.